five-a-sides, three nights a week. He plays squash, he plays badminton, he plays rugby, and he's a really fit guy. And girls, I have to say, according to my wife, he's quite a good-looking guy as well. I met Brian when he was lying in a bed. He'd been playing five-a-sides, and he came off after playing fives, and his bottom of his leg was quite sore. He didn't think anything about it, he just thought sore leg, he had a nice hot bath, and it felt a bit better. He kept on playing five-a-sides, and his squash, and his rugby, but after each game, his leg got just a wee bit more sore. So he thought, I'm going to have to go and see about this. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at him and said, I think we should maybe take an x-ray, Brian. So he went to the other hospital and got an x-ray. And the doctor looked at Brian and said, Brian, son, I've got bad news for you. You've got cancer in your leg. And Brian, it's so bad, the only way we can save your life is to do what? What do you think? An operation. A nasty operation to cut off his leg. And I met Brian just before the operation. I met him just after the operation. And you know what he was doing just after the operation? He was sitting with his dad, who's a big burly fireman, and they were looking through a magazine. And I looked at the magazine, it was Golf Monthly. And he was looking through this, and he was saying, Dad, I think I'll have these clubs here. And I said, Brian, that's fantastic. He said, oh no, I'm not able to play football anymore. I'm not able to play rugby anymore. I'm not able to play squash anymore. So what can I play? I'll play golf. So I'm choosing to play golf. Could tell you about lots of young folks down in that hospital, but won't do that. Choices. Brian made a choice. Some young folks down in Wales made some very sad choices. Some of you older young folks will know that. There was a spate of suicides down there. Some folks made a choice. Can't be bothered with this life anymore. The Easter story is all about choices. We're going to cover some of the young folks, what the young folks demonstrated for us. The first one is Judas. Who is Judas? Come and help me. Do you remember what Judas did? Judas was the one who held all the money for the disciples. And sometimes, well, if we're almost using a bit of our imagination, sometimes he used the money for himself. Anyway, he liked some money. And Judas made a choice. You heard it in the Bible reading. Because Judas went to the people and said, I quite like to betray Jesus. What's in it for me? And here's what was in it for him. Some money. Would you like this? Yeah. Oh, good. There was a choice made. Judas said, I am going to betray the Lord Jesus. I'm going to abandon all the things I've thought about, and I'm going to betray him for some money. He actually never got to spend it because he went out and committed suicide, if you remember rightly. That was Judas. But there's an interesting thing about Judas, and I illustrate it like this. You see, you hold that in your right hand and hold that in your left hand. Hold them way up in the sky. Do you know what these are? Swiss Army knives. Why have I got a problem when the term Swiss Army knife is mentioned? What's the conundrum, to use that big word, about a Swiss Army knife? What's special about Switzerland? That's right, they're a neutral country, and I've always been amazed at the term Swiss Army knife. Because you see, if you open up this one, you'll find that there's a toothpick. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing for a soldier to have, a toothpick? There's a set of tweezers, there's a bottle opener, there's a knife, and can you imagine our soldiers, these brave men and women out in Afghanistan and Iraq, a big tank's coming towards them, and they hold them up, hey, go away, I've got my Swiss Army knife. I don't think it would work very well. But you see, the thing about this knife and the other one there is they look the same. What's the point? The point's this. You see, Judas looked like one of the disciples. He talked like one of the disciples. He acted like one of the disciples. He spent time with Jesus like one of the disciples. He went to church like some of the disciples. And people would look at him and say he was a follower of Jesus. I look at the young folks here, I look at the older folks here, and I see folks who look different, but in a sense they're all the same because they're in church. And it could be that we are pretending to be Christians this morning. Because you see, Judas wasn't right. He played the right game, he said the right things, he said the right words up here, he read from the right book, but he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't fully committed to the Lord Jesus. Young folks, what about you? Are you a real Christian? Or are you a make-believe one? Because this is just a chocolate one made to look like a Swiss Army knife. Because you see, we can dress up the right way, we can look the right way, but deep down, when you go like that, there's nothing inside us. Because we're just pretending to be Christians. Have a wee seat. The second one was this. One of the other fellows who got a mention in our reading earlier was a chap called Peter. Do you remember what Peter did in the Easter story? Who was Peter? Come and help me. Because Peter was here, and do you know what Peter was doing? He'd followed Jesus from a distance. But then when the crunch came, when things get really tough, when he was standing, you'll need to help me act here, when he was standing beside the fire with his hands like that, yeah, hands out, and he was rubbing his hands together to keep warm, a wee lassie came up to him and said, "Hey, listen, you're one of the followers of Jesus." And Peter said, "Yep, that's right, of course I am." No, he didn't. You see, Peter crumbled when a wee girl came up and said, "You're one of Jesus' disciples." I wonder, young folks and older ones too, are we sometimes embarrassed about a Christian faith? Young folks, it's okay to be churchy in church. But when you go to school or college or play fives or play squash or whatever, are you tempted to swear? Are you tempted to act in a way that wouldn't be appropriate as a Christian? Do our Christian beliefs suddenly disappear? That's what happened to Peter, and he was a big bruiser of a guy. He was a fellow who chopped off the ear, if you remember. You are not a bruiser of a guy. You have a wee seat. He was a strong man. But do you know what happened to him when he was standing beside that fire and the charcoal was burning? He got a whiff of it and he denied Jesus. But you'll find that Jesus Christ never lets us go. Older folks, have you found that? In our years of experience, you'll find that deep within you, there's still something which draws you back to Jesus Christ. It happened in the Bible in John chapter 21. There was a barbecue on the beach. Peter was in his fishing boat, and Jesus called from the beach, "Hey guys, come and have breakfast with me." And Peter came over and he ran up that beach. And then he started to trot up that beach, and then he started to walk up that beach. Because I think he maybe just got a whiff of that fire, and that reminded him of the last time he'd seen Jesus, when he denied who he was. Older folks, one of the things that saddens me hugely in Christian circles today is Christian hypocrisy. Where we're playing one game and we're acting one side of a life and we're doing different things in other situations. Are we living out the Christian life day by day, hour by hour, in our families, our businesses, our workplaces, in our retirement issues? Are we living out the Christian life? Or are we playing the Christian card? Beware of Christian hypocrisy in these days. Young folks, don't be embarrassed to be a Christian. There's nothing wimpish about it. Jesus was a big, strong man who died a real death. And he rose from the dead and he's real. Never be embarrassed about being a Christian. And don't be embarrassed to tell others you're a Christian. Here's another one. Were there any soldiers in our play? Yep, you're the soldier. Out you come. Do you remember the soldier that was at the foot of the cross? Now, crucifixion, the death that Jesus died, was normal for soldiers. They did it all the time. And so they sat and played cards at the foot of the cross. It was just, that's the way they carried out capital punishment. It was normal. Something was different about this one, though, as the soldier looked up and he listened to Jesus and he heard Jesus, and the soldier said these words, "Surely this is the Son of God." Listen to this. Here are soldiers in Edinburgh. A fellow goes to visit them. Here's what it says about them. "During one introduction, we asked the 45 soldiers how many had been to church. Out of the 45, only 8 had ever been in a church before." That is Scotland in 2008. Out of 45 soldiers, only 8 have been in church. It'll be the same in any lecture theatre you go to in university. It'll be the same in any dance hall or club you go to in Circuit Hall Street on a Saturday night. It's the same scenario. We are an unchurched generation. But this soldier saw something in Jesus that was different. So much so, it was a bit like this other chap. He tells us he visits the garrison jail twice a week, and there's always someone in jail. Just before Christmas, I spoke to two young soldiers, and between them, they were not sure if Jesus was born on or died on Christmas Day. What happened on Christmas Day? Jesus was born. Well done. What happened on Easter Sunday? Jesus? Well, he died on Good Friday. He came alive again on Easter Sunday. Soldiers in our present generation, and maybe folks in your class at school or at college or in our workplace, are as ignorant of Christian things as these soldiers are there. Don't be embarrassed about telling them. But here's the other one. Thank you so much for your help. Do you remember the thief? There was two of them on either side of Jesus. They had botched up their lives. They had committed crimes. Could have been murder, could have been wherever, but they were being crucified. Do you remember the conversation that went on between the two of them? One started swearing away at Jesus and said, "Hey, get us down from here." The other one said, "Hold on. This man's different." And the thief said to Jesus, "Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" And Jesus replied with these words, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Their lives were changed dramatically. Let me tell you about this fellow. His name's called Ramad. Unusual name. That's his name. He was in India, and he was a member of a gang. I guess there are gangs in Paisley, same as there are gangs in the East End of Glasgow, same as there are gangs in the street. He was a member of a gang. On one occasion, he was breaking into a house, and he was right inside it. And Ramad noticed a small black book containing very thin pages, just right for making cigarettes. So he took it, and each evening he tore out a page, rolled around some tobacco, and had a smoke. Noticing that the small words on the pages were in his language, he began to read them before rolling his cigarettes. One evening, after reading a page, he knelt on the ground and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive his sins and to save him. He then turned himself into the police. He went to the police station and said, "It was me. It wasn't the big boy who did it and ran away. It was me." He turned himself into the police, much to their amazement. Ramad, the bandit, became a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and in the prison where he served his sentence, he led many others to Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. What was the book he was reading? Have a wild guess. Bible. The Holy Spirit took the gospel of Christ, and it became to Ramad the power of God unto salvation. Young folks and older ones too. Have we ever come to Christ as the thief did on the cross and quite simply asked him to forgive us? And to come into our lives, and to make us sure of heaven. We all dream about heaven, we all talk about heaven. Are we absolutely certain that like that thief who died on the cross with Jesus, we're going there? Here's the last one. There was two men, well, perhaps two men, walking along a road to a town called Emmaus. I need two men. Two guys in the corner, come on out and help me. Two men were walking along this road, and a stranger joined them. I'll be the stranger. And they just walked along, and they were chatting away. And then they came to their house, and he said, "Do you want to come in?" "I absolutely do want to come in. That's kind of you." And they sat at the table. And you know what they did? They invited the guest to take some bread and to break it. And you know who it was? And these guys were absolutely exhausted when they came to the house. But once they saw that, they jumped for joy. "Hey, this is going to be a good one." They jumped for joy. "Oh, guys." They had, well, that was okay, but it wasn't brilliant. Because you see, they had been as sad could be, because they thought Jesus was dead and was staying dead. And then this gentleman had joined them in the road, walking up. He'd come into their house, and suddenly they realized that all they had read and all they had heard was true, and it's exactly the same today. That all we have sung about, all we have read, all we have said is absolutely true, because Jesus Christ is alive. And they jumped for joy. Oh, lads! You're really going to have to go for this. Right, try and touch the ceiling. Okay, here we go. They sat there, and we had an open-air service in Strathaven this morning, and we were standing in the common green, that's a wee grassy bit in the centre of Strathaven, and the minister said this, Jesus Christ is risen, and we all shouted back, He is risen indeed. A wonderful message for Christmas. So these guys jump for Christmas? For Easter. These guys jump for joy. That's better. Yeah, thank you, lads. And you see, folks' lives have never been the same since. Because as we come to church, we don't worship somebody who's dead. We don't point to a burial ground and say, oh, the bones of Jesus are in there, because the bones of Jesus are not there. Jesus is alive, He's in heaven, and you know what? I'm going to see Him one day. Not because I'm anything special, because I am certainly not, but because I believe in the risen Lord Jesus who took my sins away by dying on the cross at Calvary. Can I challenge you older folks? Where do you stand with this whole faith thing? Is it real? Is it myth? Is it theology? Or is it living within you? My prayer is that it's living. Do you remember, older folks, that lovely old hymn that says this? But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favour He shows and the love He bestows are for those who, what? Trust and obey. Have we given all to Jesus? Have we responded to Him? Is He filling our lives? Young folks, thank you for your help today. The wonderful message of Easter, as these two chaps demonstrated for us, it's joy, because Jesus is alive. This lady helped me, and she gets the money that Judas didn't get to spend. Watch the don't melt in your hand. Boys, thank you for helping me. You're going to get a soggy half Swiss chocolate knife each. I suggest you eat it now before it melts any further. Thank you for listening. Let's pray together as we give God thanks for Easter Day when we enjoy His resurrection. Let's pray. Thank you for listening, young folks. Gracious God, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Your lovely Son. And as we're faced yet again with a choice at Easter time, may we choose life. May we choose Christ. May we seek to follow You. We think of all the choices that were made around that time in biblical times. May we, like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me, please, and one day we'll see You in glory. Bless these young folks here. Thank You for them. And for our older friends, as we gather together for fellowship and tea and coffee, bless us, guard us, and keep us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.